And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Hope you got to church and hope you had some nice weather to get out and about without a mask. To be able to just move around and enjoy yourself without a mask on. You know, I have to tell you all this, but I hope everybody's doing well. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for supporting our network. Thank you for supporting my program. Really do appreciate it. I was waiting outside the supermarket for my wife. You know, and by the way, sometimes I go in and sometimes she goes in, okay? Just so everybody understands. But on this particular occasion, I was waiting outside for her. She had gone in to get something. And there was a guy pushing a cart who came out of the supermarket. Of course, he was wearing a mask. And folks, you had to see this to know how funny it actually was. But when he came out of the supermarket, right, and got like 3 feet from the door, he reached up and ripped that mask off with a vengeance. It was like, I mean, you could tell he didn't like wearing that thing, and he just ripped it off, and it dangled in his hand. Like, I just sat there in my car and watched him and just chuckled because I thought to myself, brother, I know exactly how you feel. Yes, indeed, I know exactly how you feel. Well, look, that aside, thank God that the President of the United States is doing well and his wife is doing well. And he is at Walter Reed Medical Center right now, but it looks like he is going to be coming home, maybe even today. So if something happens, if we hear news today that the President is leaving Walter Reed today, I will definitely tell you all as soon as I hear it, if something breaks during this program hour. So, you know, the other thing, this is not funny. This is tragic that there are people who are actually sad and upset that the president is doing so well. Isn't that sad? It really is. That people are actually upset that the president is doing so well because they just wanted to use this to beat him over the head. Look, my last count, 200,000 Americans have caught this disease. How in the world can anybody say that the president is responsible for having caught it himself? I mean, that is utterly ridiculous. And the fact of the matter is, people in all kinds of circumstances, all walks of life, without any way of explaining it, have contracted this disease. That's just the way it is. Now, you know, I've been praying for my church and we've been praying for the president. I've been obviously praying for myself and my wife. And praise God, we've been and praying for our network and praying for all of our people, our hosts and our management and all of the people who work here at AFR, praying that we be protected from it, that we be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And look, that doesn't mean that nobody among us is going to catch this disease. And, you know, I've actually had people challenge me. Well, what if you caught it? You've been praying, you believe God, but so what if you catch it? Well, first of all, that's the wrong question to ask me because that just gets my hackles up and makes me think, well, you know what? I'm just going to dig my heels in that much more. You know, but honestly, you know what? If I caught it, you know what I would say? Well, Lord God, I don't know how I got this thing, but I've got it. Now I'm believing you for your healing, and I'd keep on stepping. Oh, I wouldn't miss a beat. I wouldn't spend, oh God, now I prayed. Why did you let me catch? Oh, please. You know, I mean, really. Which is why I'm also not pointing fingers. By the way, I'm not pointing fingers at liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, or anybody who catches this disease. You know, it reminds me of the scripture that says there's no temptation. That word temptation means trial, tribulation, no bad thing that befalls you, it says, but such as is common to man. I wouldn't be wringing my hands. How did I get it? Oh, God, what did I do? What mistake did I mean, it's just out here, folks. It's just out here. And since I am not a perfect person, it means I don't have perfect faith. I've got faith. I don't have perfect faith. And I mean, who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you this. It's not God's fault. You know, I'm not going to get, oh, God, you gave this to me. It's your fault. No. I'm also not going to self-flagellate myself. Folks, that's like saying, if you caught the flu, which some people argue that the flu is as deadly as this thing is, if not more deadly in some ways, but we just don't pay any attention to it anymore because it's just part of the atmosphere, right? We just live with it. But that's like saying somebody catches the flu. You know what? Somewhere along the way, your faith must have failed. Somewhere along the way, God must have been displeased with you. That's just silliness, isn't it? So I'm believing God not to catch it. And so far, praise God, so good. But I've been praying for the president. President's caught it. Look, I could catch it. Anybody could catch it. It's not impossible for these leftists to run around blaming the president like, and I know that those who hate me would say the same thing about me. Oh, yeah, you know what? He didn't like wearing the mask. Well, look at him now. You know, I mean, because they just take joy out of other people's pain and suffering, and we do not. And we don't care whether they're with us or against us ideologically. We don't take joy in other people's suffering, ever. But unfortunately, they don't have the same Christian compunctions because they're not Christians. They don't know God, and therefore they don't have the ability. They don't know what true love is, you see. That's part of their problem. But I'll tell you what, I'm rejoicing because, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I was concerned when I heard the president had contracted it because I just think there's so much that rests on him right now. And Lord knows we need him to be strong and healthy and capable of doing that job that he's been called, I really believe, by God, but certainly assigned by the American people to do. So I'm rejoicing that the president is doing well, that he might be coming home today. And you know this other thing about the not reporting that he had had oxygen and, oh, it's being hidden from the American people. People really do know how to make a mountain out of a molehill, don't they? You know, the first time I visited, maybe about the second time, I visited Colorado Springs and went up to Woodland Park with Andrew Womack Ministries, I got altitude sickness. And as you all probably know, one of the things you do for some person who got altitude sickness, I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything like that. But one of the things you do is you give them oxygen. Now, they didn't put me in an ICU unit and strap me down. They just basically gave me some oxygen tanks. They said, well, if you're feeling short of breath, you know, just use this. And I said, oh, okay, great. And so I had some oxygen, you know, these little oxygen tanks with me from time to time. I would puff on those and had some water, extra water with me. Now, just think if I'd been president of the United States. He's taking oxygen. Of course, when I said if I were president of the United States, you all know that every leftist who monitors this program trying to look for something I say to attack me on probably fell out of their seats, went apoplectic. They're going to need Xanax now, and they're probably going to need smelling salts to wake up from the faint they had because the idea of me being president of the United States is enough to put them into apoplexy. They probably would feel that way if anybody on this network ever became president of the United States. So contemplating it is enough to give them night terrors. But we've got a president who's probably doing his fair share of that for them. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. When the Trump administration decided to cancel federal training sessions on critical race theory, you knew there would be criticism. What may be surprising is how easy it might be to respond to that criticism. For example, deans of the University of California Law School signed an open letter criticizing President Trump and his administration. And then Michael Brown wrote an open letter to these professors. Here are his first 2 points in his lengthy letter. First, the professors say they write with one voice. Brown asked whether such a unity of opinion should trouble you. Nearly all professors in the humanities and social sciences at American universities are left-wing. He also quotes one law professor who talks about how descriptions on positions were rewritten when the best applicants were right of center. No wonder these deans can speak with one voice. The liberal progressive voice is usually the only one allowed. Second, they complained that Trump decided to ban federal employees from learning about critical race theory through trainings. Brown responds that any federal worker can buy copies of White Fragility and meditate on the book over the weekend. Why should citizens of the U.S. pay to train federal employees in a controversial theory? Here's an even more relevant question. Why should we even be teaching critical race theory when it rests on neo-Marxist ideas? Lest you think that is too strong a statement, I would recommend that you take a moment and read one of the many articles being written by evangelical Christians on this race theory. Pastor John MacArthur has written about the theological errors of critical race theory. Professor Doug Grotheis also provides a powerful critique of critical race theory. We shouldn't be teaching this race theory and certainly shouldn't have U.S. taxpayers paying for it. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Davis.
After 6 months of shutdowns, some governors are continuing to bully churches, keeping them closed while allowing other, quote, essential businesses to reopen. This tyranny and egregious unequal treatment is not without cost, as depression, suicides, domestic violence, divorce applications, and civil unrest are dramatically increasing. The conscience and compassion of the nation should no longer be silenced. While PJI will continue its battles defending the rights of churches to safely congregate, we must not forsake the gathering together. After all, God's Word does command it.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org. Remember the website, pji.org.
Brian Fisher here. Donald Trump's rapid bounce back from COVID is further evidence of the protective effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine. We'll play Sound of Trump from Walter Reed and let you decide for yourself how sick he sounds, how the Electoral College protects us from voter fraud, and Chris Wallace completely loses his cool talking about Trump next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, look, I'm not president of the United States, but my point is the president can take oxygen, a little oxygen, because his oxygenation level is lower. I think it got down from, it's supposed to, I think the normal is somewhere around 96-97%. I think it dropped 1 or 2 or 3 points, 95%, and they gave him a little oxygen. No big deal. He walked out of the White House under his own power. And he has not been in ICU or anything like that. And I'm just amazed at anything they can find to attack this president on. Anything. I mean, it just doesn't matter what it is. The most innocent, the most unimportant, trivial things, if they can use it to attack him. Now, they're turning this now into a conspiracy to hide from the media the true condition of the president. Why weren't we told that he had... I mean, it's just making a mountain out of a molehill. They just will do anything in their power to discredit this man, to destroy him, to smear him, to slander him. It's really sad to see human beings degenerate to such a depraved level in which the hatred and the venom and the vitriol just never, ever ends and never stops looking for an excuse to be released. They say, he is now the victim of his own failures. Oh, please. Well, look, on another matter, we don't know when hearings are going to start on Judge Amy Coney Barrett. We don't know when those hearings are going to start, but estimates are it could happen as early as 10 days from now. Folks, we really need to be praying for the president, but we also need to be praying for this nominee because this Supreme Court appointment is extremely important. I don't think we can possibly overstate its importance. And I'm not exaggerating at all. We can't overstate it. Now, one of the things that we need to convey to our senators, and you probably heard the spot asking you to contact your U.S. senator. I mentioned it a couple times last week. Is we can't allow these senators to get up on their high horses and violate the constitutional rights of this woman and violate the Constitution itself. And right now we know they're planning to go after her on the basis of her religious faith, and they simply are constitutionally prohibited from doing that. Now, I believe in freedom of speech. And I believe that any citizen who wants to raise that issue can certainly raise it. They're free to do so. But a United States senator has taken an oath to the Constitution of the United States, and that Constitution bars religious tests. And therefore, no U.S. senator should be raising that issue against nominees, but they've done it again and again. And you know, it really is time for the Senate to crack down on this unconstitutional behavior. It's time for Mitch McConnell to say, look, you violate the Constitution in our hearings by doing things that the Constitution prohibits, and we're going to censure you. Because it's about time we started adhering to this document that governs us, as opposed to trampling it and treating it like a footnote or a byword or an antiquated piece of paper that we really not need be bound by, or need not be bound by. Like the governor of Jersey, oh, it's above my pay grade. No, I didn't consider that. That's where these politicians are today. They think the Constitution's a joke. So when you contact your U.S. senator, which I hope you'll do, I hope you'll also say to them, do not violate the Constitution of the United States by attacking Judge Barrett on the basis of her religious beliefs. There's nothing illegal about them. There's nothing immoral about them. There's no reason whatsoever. She has made clear that she understands that she takes an oath to the Constitution of the United States, and she's going to preserve that and keep that in mind as she makes her decisions. There's no reason whatsoever to be attacking her on the basis of her faith. She does not belong to a cult or some weird group that has some kind of apocalyptic ideas about their participation in bringing about the end times or any crazy stuff like that. So how about we come back to the document that has governed us for the last 234 years? How about that? Wouldn't that be nice? Or 233? Wouldn't that be nice? We're going on 234 now. So please contact your senators and encourage them to just follow the oath that they took. By the way, let me mention, those of you who have not heard this before, some of you have, on our website, we have a citizen's oath to the Constitution of the United States. And we haven't pushed that hard, but I want you to know it's there. For anybody who feels like, you know what, I want the privilege of taking that same oath that Bishop Jackson, EW, and our military people and government and public officials have taken, and new citizens, naturalized citizens, have to take, and I want to take it. Well, we've created a citizen's oath to the Constitution on our website to give you that privilege so that you can say, hey, you know what? I've taken that oath to the Constitution too. I've taken it. I took it as a citizen. I took it of my own volition. I didn't take it because I had to. I took it because I chose to. And we want to have full moral authority to say to any politician, you took an oath to the Constitution of the United States. How about obeying it? How about adhering to it? As opposed to trampling it when you feel like it, and discarding it when you feel like it, and ignoring it when you feel like it. I mean, I've really had it with this stuff, folks. That issue should not even come up. They should be asking her about her judicial philosophy. They should be asking her about her analytical ability when it comes to analyzing facts and the law in the cases that she has covered and that she has made judgments on and written opinions on. They should be asking her about her legal bona fides and qualifications, not about her religious faith. And this stuff of attacking people is Dianne Feinstein attacked her already. So your dogma lives loudly within you. What does that mean? Their leftist, Marxist, socialist, communist dogma lives loudly within them, except it is antithetical to everything we believe in this country and everything this country represents and everything that made this country great. I'm a whole lot more concerned about Dianne Feinstein and Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer and these folks, their dogma, than I am about a Christian woman who has a sterling legal career and has proven herself to be a wonderful mother and wife and legal scholar and judge. Her dogma lives loudly within her. Give me a break. I'll tell you, these folks, never mind. I won't go there. I won't. Let me stop before I spin out. Look, I'm going to start taking your calls. I'm going to raise a couple of issues for our discussion that I want to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840. More violence in Chicago. See, this is what happens. The murders of these folks in these inner cities become so common that it's no longer even news. And that's the way the liberals want it. That's the way the left wants it. Because they don't want you to notice the literal genocide that's taking place among people in the inner cities. Most of whom, not all, happen to be black, a lot of Hispanics as well, but not just blacks and Hispanics. There are people of all backgrounds who are suffering if they live in the inner city. Business people whose businesses are being robbed, some of them are being killed in the process, but they don't want you to focus on that. They want you to focus on the one shooting or killing in which a police officer is involved so they can say, see the oppression, see the racism, see how terrible it is. And we'll ignore all the rest because the rest of it doesn't quite fit our narrative of how nasty America is. But we can use this to fit that narrative. So we'll just pump that up. We get people stirred up and rioting and looting and killing and violating people's privacy and their private property and accosting people at restaurants and going on their private property, tear down their flags. Yeah, we can use this to get that done, and then we can ignore all the other murder and mayhem that is taking place in communities right around them. See, those aren't relevant. Black lives matter. Yeah, right. If they really mattered, all lives would matter. And if all lives matter, then the lives of these police officers who are being killed, the lives of these young people whose lives are being taken, the lives of these innocent people who are trying to live law-abiding lives being killed in the crossfire, sometimes in their own homes, would matter too. But none of those lives happen to matter, do they? No, they don't. They don't even get talked about. Is the number. Like I said, I'm going to raise a couple more issues, then we'll come to your calls. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
For 17 years, the Green Gate was a striptease club in San Antonio, Texas. All kinds of people came to the Green Gate. Some were lonely people seeking companionship. Some were frustrated people trying to sap a temporary thrill from a life that had no meaning. Some were ignorant people who thought life offered nothing higher than a bottle of booze and a naked dame. The Green Gate is closed now. It's out of business. It wasn't so much a lack of business that closed the Green Gate. It was more of a change of attitude on the part of the owner. Guy Linton closed down his club and said it will stay closed. Linton even posted a sign over the club door which read, "Closed forever." There's many clubs like the Green Gate still in operation across the country, thousands of them. There people can go to find lights low, music loud, and booze plentiful. Many of them do a thriving business, living off the superficial food they offer to the deep hunger in the human heart. Dr. Gallup ran a poll on happiness many years ago. He found that the most unhappy people were those who visited the taverns and clubs. Isn't that strange? The people out having a good time, supposedly, are the most unhappy people you'll find. Will Rogers, a man of a day gone by, used to tell about a druggist who was asked if he ever took time off from his duties to have a good time. The druggist said that he did not, but that he sold a lot of headache medicine to those who did. What is a good time? How do you define it? Is it something that has no lasting value in it? Is gone when you wake up the next morning? Or is it the deep satisfaction that comes from knowing you're drinking deep from the cup of life offered by the Father? Surely happiness comes from having some great objective, beneficial to mankind, and single-mindedly pursuing that objective with all the strength in oneself. Some of those who are seeking happiness in the clubs and taverns are surprised when they finally find happiness. They're surprised to find that it comes not from a club, but from a cause, a great and demanding cause. Guy Linton found it in this manner. You see, Linton made his decision to close the Green Gate after listening to a sermon. Guy Linton has, to use the familiar words, changed over to the Lord's side. But don't worry about the Green Gate. Linton has said that the Green Gate will be turned into a religious bookstore. Let's hope the Green Gate keeps its same customers that it had for many years. And unless other club owners are ready to close down their clubs, we advise them to stay away from the Man of Galilee.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
By the way, folks, I'm preaching a mini-series at my church called Saving Souls. Yesterday was the second message in that series, and I talked about the consequences. And in that, I talked about the cultural influences that brought us to a point where we have so many godless, God-hating, anti-Christian people in our culture. And I mentioned two people. And I just say this because you might want to listen to that message. Because here again, it's not what people would expect you to talk about when you're talking about saving souls. But I talked about the widespread, universal influence, really the poisoning of American culture, as well as the culture of the world, really, by Charles Darwin and Karl Marx. You know, they knew each other, by the way. They actually knew each other and corresponded. And they both agreed on this particular point. There is no God. They were absolutely committed to that idea. There is no God. And the Bible says the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. So the person that people, these two historical figures that so many people have put so much stock in, the Bible calls them both fools. And it also goes on to say in Psalm 14:1, they're corrupt. And yet that's who the world is listening to. And that's where, that's the source of a lot of this godless, God-hating ideology that is coming out of the left and coming out of the Democrat Party. By the way, the other thing I want to mention is I'm going to be in Granbury, Texas on Thursday night, speaking for the Makeaway Ministries. I'll be with Dr. Bill Miller. I'll be speaking somewhere around 8:30 at that event. And I think you can go to, I'll be at the La Bella Luna, by the way. It's 7700 Glen Rose Highway in Granbury, the La Bella Luna. And I think you can go to their website and you'll get a link to confirm going. I don't know what the ticket situation is, but just wanted you all to know I'll be there. And if you are a listener to AFR and you happen to show up, please make sure you speak to me and let me know you're there, because I love running into you all and love having a chance to talk to you. Okay, just a couple more things, and then to your calls. There's a lot of stuff in the news right now, but you know, the CDC has had a little row with some administrative officials about closing down the border to keep the coronavirus out of our country. And of course, the deep state that's still there fought tooth and nail. That's not the science. The science doesn't indicate that letting these people in is going to, you know, something else. I mean, they want to order the rest of us. You can't go outside. You must wear a mask. You can't eat in a restaurant. Oh, but people from these South American countries, we don't know where they've come from. We don't know whether they're healthy. And oh, yeah, no. Let them in. That's not a problem. It just goes to show they have no real interest in the health and well-being of the people of the United States. It's simply about their ideology. It's about promoting their agenda. And they think these people are going to help them with it. So even if it kills us all, yes, let them in. Thank God we've got some people like David Miller and others in the Trump administration who are willing to say, no, we are not going to let them in. We are not going to open the floodgates and allow our country to be flooded with people. We don't know who they are. We don't know whether they're healthy. We don't know what the circumstances are. By the way, folks, and let's not forget, this whole border thing, there's a lot of human trafficking involved in that thing too, in this illegal immigration. Let the citizens in. These people are being trafficked in here and are really, in many cases, nothing more than slaves. And this is being allowed and promoted by the people who claim to be so against the slavery of 150 years ago, and it's still with us, but they don't mind the slavery of today. You can kind of tell I'm a little peeved with these people about now. You know, I think what got me started was the way they've treated the president while he's ill, which is really kind of what's gotten me started today and set the tone. Pope Francis is calling for a one-world government. I'm not exaggerating. Yes, we need to give more power to the United Nations. Ooh, brother. Yeah, I can see why a lot of my Catholic friends don't care for him. You know. And you know, isn't this interesting? You know, Planned Parenthood, the American Civil Liberties Union, are suing the Trump administration because the Trump administration is saying abortion is not family planning. Duh. And Planned Parenthood is saying, oh, no, it's family planning. No, it's planned killing. It's planned killing. And here's some good news. Seriously, here's some good news. The NBA finals are having a ratings crash. You know, forgive me for enjoying that, but you know, these people have disrespected our flag and thrown it in our faces and called the rest of us racist and worn Black Lives Matter t-shirts and don't have the sense God gave in that. They need to bounce the ball and go throw it in the hoop. And instead, they're busy lecturing the rest of us. I mean, they stood against North Carolina when North Carolina said, no, we aren't going to have men going into ladies' bathrooms. No, we're not having that. You know, the NBA threatened to pull out. We're not going to come to enter North Carolina. I mean, what is wrong with these people? So they've rejected the American people, and apparently the American people are rejecting them. Turnabout is fair play. So let's go to your calls. Let's see. Let's go to Sarah in Virginia. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, darling. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sarah. How are you?
I have a couple of comments. I wanted my husband to buy some boards so I could actually put it on the front of my yard, but I guess God chose this pathway to talk to you, so that's why I'm calling in. I have several things to say about the voting, the riots, and abortion, and I'll just say them real quick and let you answer them, if you would. The Bible says to rebel is as if witchcraft. To hate is to murder. There is but one race created in the image of God. In my opinion, there's no such thing as the word racist. It is just purely hatred. And we know where that comes from. That comes from Satan. We are the human race, one people made in the image of God. And what another thing that the Lord has shown me, that I vote for the man and I vote for God's, what God says. So whatever he calls Amen. Himself does not matter to me. His personality does not matter to me. How does he line up in his beliefs according to the word of God? I'm held accountable. Everyone that is a Christian is held accountable in the end times. And when we meet the Lord, and I've got enough baggage up there, I'm going to have to confess, and I don't want to have to confess voting for abortion.
I got you, Sarah. So I got you. All right, Sarah. Listen, go Sarah. I'll get the last one. Get the last one in quick. Was there one more thing?
Okay, if you vote Democrat, now I'm not okay. You have made your mark on the ballot that approves abortion. You got to think, if you're a Christian, if it's just like Paul, he did not throw the first stone nor any stones to kill Stephen. He held their coats. In other words, he approved of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But he was still held accountable to Jesus. Glory to God. They need to look at it like that.
Sarah, thank you. I think on that point you have really hit the ball out of the park. I'd never thought about that analogy, but you are so right. He was just as accountable as those who threw the stones, because he watched them and he held their coats as they did it. So what a powerful image that is, that those who say, "Well, I don't perform abortions." Yeah, but you're holding the coats of the people who do when you vote for the people who support those policies. So deal with that. You are in the same place that Saul then was in. And you need to do the same thing Saul did, frankly, which is have a Damascus Road experience and repent and stop kicking the goads and stop persecuting Jesus. Because I really believe that anybody who participates in the killing of an unborn child is persecuting Jesus, because of all the least of these that Jesus talked about, what could be more the least of these than innocent unborn children who have done nothing to anybody, never hurt anybody, never said or done anything wrong? They are simply waiting to live, waiting to emerge into the earth. They're alive now, but they're waiting to begin to live their lives independent of their mothers. And you kill them. And you are absolutely right, Sarah. Every single person that votes for folks like that is going to answer for it. Back in a moment.
I want to say that I think there is room in music to express how you feel.
Okay.
There's room for transparency.
Mm-hmm.
But as Christians, I think we should always be offering the hope,
Amen.
The answer to that despair or that anxiety, and not just vent. You know, but we have the solution. We mm-hmm. we know who fixed the problem.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for a free sneak preview.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is coming soon. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
You have to disconnect. I mean, there's definitely, you have to realize that my worth is in Christ. I mean, my worth is not in how clean my house is.
Organizing your home and keeping clutter in check can be a challenge, but Christy Clover encourages you to cut yourself some slack on this Focus on the Family Minute.
But you also, I think it's an area that we don't think to discuss with our spouse. We just kind of, everybody's doing their thing and okay, can you help with that? And you just kind of get stressed and busy. So it's a good time to actually slow down, pray together, and even just pray. Like I always encourage people, pray for a vision for your room. Well, why not pray for a vision for your home and do that with your spouse and then, you know, divide and conquer and figure that out. But you have to give yourself grace. And I really want to encourage husbands and wives to give each other grace too, because it's just, it's too much and it's a lot to manage.
Ask for God's help in keeping your home organized. Pray over it. More from Christy at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We've got a couple of open lines still in this last segment. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to remind you all again to don't forget our podcast. If a program particularly strikes you, maybe it's one you've called in on, but maybe it strikes you for some other reason as well, and you really want others to hear it, and you think, well, but the program's over now. No, it's not. It's right there. It is there, archived forever. Just note the date and tell your friends, hey, go to AFR.net and check out The Awakening on, and to give them the date of the program, and they'll click on it, and they'll hear it, and perhaps even hear you. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to the lines. Let's go to Rachel in Arkansas. Rachel, welcome.
Well, good. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm calling because you had suggested that we call our senators about Amy.
Yes.
Coney Barrett. Okay. I was at the supermarket at Walmart, and I ran into Senator Bozeman. He's from Arkansas, the 3rd District. And I said, Senator Bozeman? He says, yes. I says, oh, it's so good to see you, to run into you. And he says, well, I'm glad I met you, too. Anyways, I says, listen, I says, are you going to vote for Amy Coney Barrett that she gets seated on that Supreme Court seat? And he says, oh, definitely, definitely. I says, what about Senator Cotton? He says, yes, yes.
Good.
I says, well, you made my day. I said, well, good. You have a great day. So, oh, my gosh, such a pleasant, pleasant man, just down to earth.
Well, that's great that you ran into your senator at Walmart and had an opportunity to buttonhole him about this issue. And, of course, even better that he's going to vote for Amy Coney Barrett because she should be confirmed as the next Supreme Court Justice. Rachel, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Harland in Texas. Harland, welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing great, thank
this
you.
This is the second time I talked to you. The first time was when I gave you the original name of socialism, which is called the New Christianity or the New Christianism.
Uh-huh.
Where they get the dogma from is when Henri de Saint-Simon wrote the socialist doctrines. What he did is he said, I have now removed the dogma from Christianity and come up with a new Christianity, which is what they renamed it to socialism later. And they call everybody who, he called everybody who goes to any kind of a Christian church a heretic. And that's where all of this garbage is coming from.
Yeah, well, you know, look, we know that from the very beginning, Satan is behind all this because he hates God and he hates what God has created, which is human beings. And he certainly hates Christianity because he hates Jesus Christ, who is sent to redeem human beings, because God doesn't want us to be lost, but wants us to be with him. So Harlan, we appreciate the history lesson there. Whatever they call it, we're against it. So thanks for the call, Harlan. Let's go to Tommy, also in Texas. Tommy, welcome.
Hello, Bishop B.W. Jackson. I finally get to talk to you. You know, what a blessing you are. I mean, a true blessing. And
Thank you, sir.
You were in Houston, I would attend your church services. But I'm in Houston, and anyway, of course, you can tell I'm white, and I go to two all-black churches. And last time, I sat with Tim and everybody when they were voting last time for the president, and I stayed with him all night. Anyway, you know that, of course, Trump was voted in, but I went to my church, the first one, and jumping up and down, y'all, we won. And you know, the pastor looked at me and said, shh. He said, Tommy, we don't vote that way. I said, what? I said, abortion. I went to the second one, the same thing, and the same thing happened. Shh. I was blown away, Bishop. I mean, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, just by, you know, what they stand on. But anyway, I just don't know why they do that. But anyway, I wanted to tell you, you're going to enjoy Granbury. My second son was born there. And I hope President takes that hydrochloroquine and proves to them that it works. And one other comment, and I'm going to shut up. You know, I thought Tim didn't do anything, but he sure finds the best people to host these shows. You, Abraham, the Addisons. God bless him. I thought he just went to Israel and did the Friday show. But you know what? That man.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Hire, folks, because brother, I'm telling you, you're God sent. You're anointed. And the first time I heard you, I prayed for you.
Thank you, Tommy. I'm not kidding you.
And I was praying this weekend, God, I want to start sending my tithe to somebody. And God said, send it to them so you can hear all the people you like. So that's
well,
what I'm
praise
gonna do.
God, bless Tommy. You, praise God. Tommy, I've got to go. I got to get some other calls in. But thank you so much. And I'm sure you're joking about Tim Wildman, because Tim is a whirlwind. And, of course, I'm sure all of you know Tim Wildman and the whole Wildman family worked very, very, very hard. Look, folks, everything we're doing, it's not happening by accident. It's not happening because people are sitting on their laurels. It's happening because people are working very, very, very hard. Tim and Walker and the whole family, and frankly, the whole staff. But so Tommy, I'm sure that you were joking. I appreciate the compliment. That I hope that one of the good decisions among the many that Tim makes was to ask me to be a host on this network. So thank you for that. But I got to get a little defense in there for Tim, because Tim is a hardworking guy. And a wonderful guy, too. And very, very funny. I'm sure those of you who had a chance to listen to him on the radio, Tim is a riot. Okay, let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Alan in Georgia. Alan, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. First off, God bless you and your show. You bring
Thank
a lot
you,
of
sir.
Wisdom to all of us out here in the Piney Woods.
Okay.
I've just got two quick things. First, as far as Judge Barrett, she was already vetted and she was already voted in 2017. What are we waiting on? And the second thing is, you know, we keep saying, you know, let's talk to our senators. For those out there that might not know how to reach their senators, can you please let them know how they can do that? And I'll be quiet and listen to the rest of your show. And again, God bless you, brother.
God bless you too, Alan. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. Folks, the best thing to do is to go to AFA.net. I think I may have neglected to mention that before, but go to AFA.net. We've got it laid out there for you, a way for you to contact your senators, find out who they are, and to reach them. We've made it very, very easy for you to go to AFA.net. You'll see it right there on the front of the website. All right, let's keep going because I'm enjoying talking to you all. I hope you all are enjoying talking to me too. So let's go to Joe in Alabama. Joe, welcome.
All right, let's keep going because...
Joe, I hear myself in the background, so that's not good. So turn down your radio. Uh-oh, okay. Joe, we may have to try to come back to you. Let's go to Carla in Texas. Carla, welcome.
Hi. I just had a comment about Judge Barrett. I wish that she had in front of her, when she's questioned about her religion, the copy of the Constitution, and that she should say something like, well, I'm surprised you're asking me that because the Constitution reads, and then read about what it says about, you know, the religion. I wish she would say that every time she's asked.
Wow. You know what? That would be powerful, and it would be a lesson to the American people. And, you know, these Democrats, they would go crazy. I mean, that would drive them up the wall because they don't like the Constitution, first of all. And then they certainly wouldn't like having her tell them that they should be obeying the oath that they took. But, you know, that would be putting it right in their face, Carla. I like the idea. I don't know whether those around her would recommend she do it, but I love it. But so, Carla, thank you so much for the call. God bless you. Let's go to Robert in Virginia. Robert, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, Bishop Matt, sir. I'm just wondering that the things that we're going through right now, could they be considered plague? Because it seems that they're just coming one after the other. Mm-hmm. And when it happens like that, I can't see how a country or a place like that could ever be redeemed with plagues coming one behind the other. Well, what would you say about that, sir?
Well, you know, Robert, I do believe this. You know, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And Hosea 8 says, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And I do think a lot of the problems that we are facing in our country are the result of a lot of bad seed that's been sown by people in our country. But, you know, I also believe in the power of good seed to overcome weeds. In other words, the power of redemption. I believe that God loves this country. I really believe that God was behind its very inception, its establishment. And therefore, I believe, as he always does, God is looking for a way to redeem, looking for a way to save, looking for a way to bless. And I think the way is people like you and me and others who pray and seek God's face and intercede in behalf of our country and ask God to pour out his spirit and ask him for an awakening. That's why I really believe that America is going to be fine, because I just don't believe that our prayers are going to go unanswered. Jesus said, though he bear long with them, shall he not also speedily answer them? So in other words, even though it seems like a long time, God has a way of just breaking in at the right time. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think these things are happening by accident. I think they are the result of some bad seed sown. And I think that's a lot of that bad seed's been sown since the 60s. A code of sort of godlessness, rebellion, hatred of authority, destruction of the family, attacks on faith and on the Bible. All of that stuff that we've been sowing into our culture through our colleges and universities and even our public schools, our government schools. And you know, you just can't do that stuff without bringing a harvest. But I'm convinced of this, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And the seed we're sowing is more powerful than the seed he's sown. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you for your prayers. And remember this, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.